ಮಾಧವ ಕುಂಜ ವಿಹಾರಿ ಗೋಪೀಜನವಲ್ಲಭ ಗಿರಿವರಧಾರಿ ಯಶೋದಾನಂದನ ಭಜ ಜನರಂಜನ ಯಮುನಾತಿರವನಚಾರಿ ಯಮುನಾತಿರವನಚಾರಿ ಜಯ ರಾಧಮಾಧವ ಕುಂಜ ವಿಹಾರಿ ಜಯ ಗೋಪಿಜನವಲ್ಲಭ ಗಿರಿವರಧಾರಿ ಯಶೋದಾನಂದನ ವ್ರಜ ಜನರಂಜನ ಯಮುನಾತೀರವನಚಾರಿ ಯಮುನಾತೀರವನಚಾರಿ ರಾಧಾ ಮಾಧವ ಕುಂಜ ವಿಹಾರಿ ಜಯ ಓಂ ವಿಷ್ಣುಪಾದ ಪರಮಹಂಸ ಪರಿವ್ರಾಜಕಾಚಾರ್ಯ ಅಷ್ಟೋತ್ತರ ಶತಶ್ರೀ ಶ್ರೀಮದ್ ಹಿಸ್ ಡಿವೈನ್ ಗ್ರೇಸ್ ಶ್ರೀ ಭಕ್ತಿ ವೇದಾಂತ ಸ್ವಾಮಿ ಶಿವ ಪ್ರಭುಪಾದ ಕೀ ಜಯ. ಅನಂತ ಕೋಟಿ ವೈಷ್ಣವ ವೃಂದ ಕೀ ಜಯ. ಗ್ರಂಥರಾಜ್ ಶ್ರೀಮದ್ ಭಾಗವತಂ ಕೀ ಜಯ. ಆಲ್ ಗ್ಲೋರೀಸ್ ಟು ದಿ ಅಸೆಂಬಲ್ ಡಿವೋಟೀಸ್, ಆಲ್ ಗ್ಲೋರೀಸ್ ಟು ದಿ ಅಸೆಂಬಲ್ ಡಿವೋಟೀಸ್, ಆಲ್ ಗ್ಲೋರೀಸ್ ಟು ಶ್ರೀ ಶ್ರೀ ಗುರು ಅಂಡ್ ಗೌರಾಂಗ, ಆಲ್ ಗ್ಲೋರೀಸ್ ಟು ಶಿಲ ಪ್ರಭುಪಾದ. ಓಂ ನಮೋ ಭಗವತೆ ವಾಸುದೇವಾಯ. ಓಂ ನಮೋ ಭಗವತೆ ವಾಸುದೇವಾಯ. ಓಂ ನಮೋ ಭಗವತೆ ವಾಸುದೇವಾಯ. ಗ್ರಂಥರಾಜ್ ಶ್ರೀಮದ್ ಭಾಗವತಂ ಕ್ಯಾಂಟು 5 ಚಾಪ್ಟರ್ 4 ಟೆಕ್ಸ್ಟ್ ನಂಬರ್ Yeah, I know. 15. Yad-yad-cheeshna-yarchitam tat-tad-anuvartate-lokah. That's it. One half a line. ಯದ್ಯಚ್ಚೇಷ್ಣಯಾರ್ಚಿತಂ ತತ್ತದ್ ಅನುವರ್ತತೆ ಲೋಕಃ. ಸೊ ವರ್ಡ್ ಫಾರ್ ವರ್ಡ್ ಟ್ರಾನ್ಸ್ಲೇಷನ್, ಯತ್ ಯತ್ ವಾಟ್ ಎವರ್ ಶೀರ್ಷ್ಣಯ ಬೈ ದ ಲೀಡಿಂಗ್ ಪರ್ಸ್ನಾಲಿಟೀಸ್ ಆಚರಿತಂ ಪರ್ಫಾರ್ಮ್ಡ್ ತತ್ತತ್ ದ್ಯಾಟ್ ಅನುವರ್ತತೆ ಫಾಲೋ ಲೋಕಃ the people in general. Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Whatever action is performed by a great man, common men follow. Purport. A similar verse is also found in Bhagavad Gita, chapter 3, text 21. It is essential for human society to have a section of men perfectly trained as qualified brahmanas according to the instructions of Vedic knowledge. Those below the brahmanical qualification, administrators, merchants and workers, should take instruction from those ideal people who are considered to be intellectuals. In this way, everyone can be elevated to the highest transcendental position and be freed from material attachment. The material world is described by Lord Krishna himself as Dukkhalayam Ashashvatam, a temporary place of misery. No one can stay here, even if he makes a compromise with misery. One has to give up this body and accept another, which may not even be a human body. As soon as one gets a material body, he becomes Dehabhrit or Dehi. In other words, he is subjected to all the material conditions. The leaders of society must be so ideal that by following them, one can be relieved from the clutches of material existence. Om Ajnana Timirandhasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chaksur Unmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamahim Dadati Svapadantikam Vancha Kalpaturubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Srivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare. Can the volume on this be reduced a little bit? I sound like a baseball announcer. So first of all, Rajmohan Prabhu is here. Very nice to see you. Thank you for staying with us. And there's also someone else who's... This is not your first time here. You've been here in the past. Okay, thank you for joining us. You're very welcome. So we've been discussing Maharaj Rishabhadev as being liberated from this material world. That means he didn't have anything to seek for in this world. He didn't have anything lacking or aspiring that could be fulfilled by something or someone in this material world. Yet, he acted in ways as if he was like one of the persons of this world. And the reason for doing that is to set an example for others to follow. If an example isn't set, then people would not know what to do. That in one sense is not so bad. What's worse is that they would follow wrong leaders. Andha itandhai upaniyamana. So to have a bad example is worse than to not have any example at all. And the bad example means anyone in the category of being conditioned by material nature will set a bad example. There are certain leaders who have it their life's mission to exploit others. They definitely are not only bad, but terrible leaders. They're leaders only from a social status perspective. They become elected leaders, or somehow they usurp power and they become leaders like dictators. And their whole idea is to exploit others. Then there are other leaders who may not want to exploit others, at least overtly think of exploiting others, but they will give people a different goal of life. Become, make money, economic, it's called economic development. They will dangle the carrot of economic development. They will think that for the mass of people, if they have economic development, they will be happy. So they will think about modernization. They will think about how to foster more scientific research, etc., so that life will become better. From the Bhagavatam's perspective, even those leaders are bad leaders. Because they may have a good intention, but they are not giving people the actual goal of life. So they're also considered bad leaders. Then there are leaders who not only have good intention, but they may also have a sense of what is the right purpose. But if they are not following someone, then they are also considered bad leaders. Because they may come up with ideals for life on the basis of some speculative thought. So to be an ideal leader, one has to be an ideal follower. Maharaj Rishabhdev is described that he, from the time of his birth, of course, he's the personality of Godhead. Yet, the personality of Godhead, although it's not described in the verses of Bhagavatam specifically, but just because, but we can easily understand that he performed his duties very thoroughly, indicates that he took the training thoroughly. Just as the personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna, although he is the Virat Supreme Personality, all independent, yet as when he was performing his childhood pastimes, he went to the school of Sandipani Muni. There are other reasons why he went to Sandipani Muni school, but from the context of our discussion, he went to school to learn from Sandipani Muni. Of course, he mastered all the 64 arts in 64 days. In a day, he became the undisputed master of each branch of knowledge. Yet he went to school. He was a student at Sandipani Muni's school. So to become an ideal leader, one must learn to be an ideal follower. Srila Prabhupada talks of himself. Today I can speak so eloquently about the topics of Krishna is because I heard very carefully from my spiritual master. I liked hearing. In fact, my spiritual master marked, Abhay Charan, Abhay Babu, yes, he likes to hear. I have marked him, he likes to hear. So the principle being spoken in this verse is, whatever great people do, others, the common men, follow. And the great personality, here it says, Sirshnaya. Sirsha means the head. Sirshnaya means the head of those, or those who are leaders. Because the head leads people, supposed to. Most of the time it's not the head that leads people, it's something else. But the head is supposed to lead people, lead the body. So the person becomes great, a person is considered great, not because they have wealth, or education, or they come from a fantastic family. That is not the reason for being a leader. And what's worse is that they're not a leader because they were elected by common men. This is the problem of democracy. One of the issues with democracy is that it has to elect a leader from within their group of disqualified or unqualified persons. So they have to find the best among the worst. That's what democracy is all about. And secondly, in democracy, there is overemphasis to an individual without consideration of their qualification. That means if 10 Shudras, and I've said this in the past, if 10 Shudras say do this and one Brahmana says do that, then the democratic laws say you should follow the Shudras, because 10 individuals are outnumbering 10 to 1 another person. But the Vedic system doesn't go by such a criterion. It ascribes value not by numbers, but by persons, but by qualification. So Prabhupada is saying that for society, we need brahmanas. Primarily, we need devotees. Devotees set the right standard of life and lifestyle. Because the greatest example that is set is that for a person to become a devotee of Krishna, to lead a God-conscious life, is the ideal example to set for anyone. So Prabhupada is saying we need devotees, because by their engagement in bhakti, others will see, oh, this is how it is done. The right standard of, or the right brahmacharis, the right grihasthas, the right vanaprasthas, the right sannyasis, the right occupation, or how to engage within one's occupation, all of that, they're examples that people will look up to and say, oh, I should follow. Without such examples, people are lost. Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita to Arjuna, please carefully take my instructions, because if you neglect them, you will be lost. So the devotees, they bring scripture to life. And unless the devotees bring scripture to life, one will not know how to go from book to behavior. This is where many religions fail, because there is something in the book, there is something in behavior, and they don't know how to connect these two. And therefore the devotees are called Bhagavata, because what's in the book and what's in their behavior is same. There's no disjoint, there's no discord. So to bring the book to life, we need devotees, we need the right examples. We need to practice. So the word is called acharana, acharitam. Charana means, chara means to move. Acharana means to behave. And acharya means one who shows how to behave. So acharitam means to apply. So this is the crux of the, I guess, discussion, is application. When we learn carefully how to apply the instructions of Guru, Sadhu and Shastra, then we become the right examples. What distinguishes a person from an example, a proper acharana, and not, is application. Yesterday some discussion was on training. It's not that overnight everyone becomes a pure devotee. And if someone is doing like that, then one should be a little careful. But, whoa, something's not right here. Things don't move at that pace ordinarily. In some rare cases, maybe. So what allows for a person to move on the trajectory of becoming a good example, if you will, or perfect, more accurately, to become perfect, is application of bhakti. If you like the other language, abhideya is important. How we apply ourselves every day. In fact, how we apply ourselves will also become the right example. So Prabhupada has given us, this is how you apply yourself every day. So that's the example for people to follow, for ourselves, of course, but for people to follow. Oh, wake up early in the morning. The first thing to do, and if you observe, what do people do when they wake up in the morning? What do most people do when they wake up in the morning? Either they drink coffee, or they have their breakfast in bed, or the first thing they do is, without any help, even with their eyes closed, they know how to reach for the newspaper. Or they'll turn the TV on and watch news. And what does the process of bhakti said? We first wake up, take a bath, purify our body, purify our mind by reciting the names of Vishnu, applying tilak and coming in front of the deities to greet them and sing the glories of the spiritual master and Krishna. I mean, can anyone have a better way of starting a day? No, there isn't one. How do we engage ourselves during the day? Some service or the other. Everything we do is meant to be done in the mode of service, and it can manifest in varieties of ways. On the altar, we've been hearing Srila Prabhupada speak from Queen Kunti's prayers. And so he says, in the morning, everyone comes together and we sing the glories of Krishna. And then the whole day is engaged in service. Someone is typing for Krishna. Someone is selling books for Krishna. Someone is cooking for Krishna. Someone is worshipping Krishna. Whatever it is, however it manifests, it is meant to be, oh, this is a service to Krishna. This is the example for people to feel happy. Otherwise, people are only working or doing whatever they're doing simply for counteracting dukkha. That's what Prabhupada's talking about. When the devotees or the great personalities, when I say we, I don't mean like we in this room, the Vaishnavas or the when great leaders, they set the example by which every activity is for experiencing happiness. Otherwise, without that example, common people's activities are simply for counteracting suffering. And Prabhupada says, what is the use of counteracting suffering? Dukkhalayam ashashvatam. Even if one compromises with misery, Prabhupada says, no one can stay here. People try very hard to make this circumstance, whatever that circumstance that they are in, comfortable. Or just compromise, like, oh, okay, man, this is life, c'est la vie, or whatever, you know. Life stinks, but this is life. No, it doesn't have to stink. In fact, we're not meant to be living a life like that. So we have to look for who should I follow? Because by nature, constitutionally, we are followers. Whether we like it or not, we are followers. Either we follow some role model, or we follow some person or persons. If nothing else, we follow an ideology. But we are followers. There is no person in the entire history, nor there shall ever be a person in entire history who can be a leader without following an ideology. You have to be a follower. This is our constitutional nature. We are followers. The soul by nature is a follower. He may be a leader in following, but still a follower. So we have to follow someone or something. So people find their role models according to what they're trying to counteract, what problem they're trying to counteract. If they're trying to counteract the misery of, I don't know how to nicely enjoy my senses, then they will look for the fantastic materialist who will promise them, oh, this is how you engage. This is how you enjoy your senses. Oh, If I have economic problems, then they will follow the person who promises them, full cure of all miseries from money, from wealth. So they will follow that person. But the right solution is to follow those who are always happy. And happiness is not our interpretation of it. Our interpretation of happiness is we end up looking at misery or suffering and think that that is happiness. So we have to follow an absolute standard. The absolute standard is given by Shastra or scripture and persons following scripture. When one follows them, or when we follow them, then we become happy. We experience the same happiness they are experiencing. If not in quantity, definitely in quality. The bliss or the happiness which is pure, that is experienced by the great personalities here, by following them, we experience the same happiness. And so the leaders of society, here are the great personalities being spoken about, they understand that they have this responsibility. It is to relieve others from the clutches of material existence. And there are leaders. Leaders is not just elected officials or certain varna. But Bhagavatam considers different persons to be leaders according to circumstance. Yes, there are the kings, there are the brahmanas, there is the spiritual master, the demigods, the mother and father or the parents, even relatives. Anyone who has some influence on another person is a leader, whether it's a small unit or a big unit, the husband, like that. But it's not that every person has the full potency to relieve another from the clutches of material existence. Each person contributes whatever they can in the right direction. Like Prabhupada would say that a first grade teacher and the PhD professor, both are teachers. The first grade teacher cannot give college degree to the student. But he or she sets the student in the right track, right path. That's their contribution towards freedom from material existence. So we as human beings are very fortunate that there are such examples. They are called the Mahajanas, the great persons. Now there are, specifically speaking, there are 12 Mahajanas. Swayambhu, Narada, Shambhu, Lord Brahma, Narada Muni, Lord Shiva, Lord Kapila, then there is Kumaras, Janaka, Bhishma Deva, and Yamaraj, Shukadeva Goswami and Yamaraj, etc. So 12 of them. But it's not that we're talking, when we say Mahajana in this context, that there is only 12. Krishna describes a Mahajana as one who has taken shelter of the process of bhakti or the internal potency of Krishna. Mahatmanastu ye mam partha, daivim prakritim ashrita. So these are the Mahatmas. And the feature of their shelter is that they have implicit faith in their spiritual master and Krishna. Yasya deve para bhakti yatha deve tatha guru tasyaite kathitahi artha prakashante mahatmanah. So they are mahatmas because they have agreed to accept the guidance of Guru and Krishna. So this is how one becomes great. When a person thinks, I'll be great by doing something or something else, that's not greatness. The greatness is that one recognizes one's constitutional nature and acts according to it. This is what Krishna is telling Arjuna in the whole of the Bhagavad Gita. Your nature, although it's not constitutional, but your nature is a kshatriya. When you act according to that nature, even if you make mistakes, that's much better than to act like someone else and try to do it perfectly. I was visiting Northwestern University, and one of the professors in the class in which Krishna invited me to come speak, I was having lunch with the professor. And he said, you know, I'm very happy that you came because I'm not an expert at Hinduism. I'm an expert at Tibetan Buddhism. But the dean wants us to speak on different religions, and we have to somehow make do by speaking about Hinduism, and half the time we're not very sure whether they're saying the right things. So I'm very, very glad that you as an expert in Hinduism have come. And so we said, oh yeah, and I'm very glad that we could come. And we were having lunch, we were having Krishna lunch. And then he asked a question. The question was, you know, I get this question again and again from people, and I don't know how to answer it. He says, the Bhagavad Gita is such an amazing text, people like it, but where I get stuck when I'm asked a question is, why God would, or Krishna would want to force Arjuna to commit violence when non-violence makes so much sense? Why? What is it about fighting that he keeps telling him, fight, fight? So, you know, I was enjoying lunch, so I told him, well, let's consider this. You know, I said, you know, let's suppose you're walking on the street and you see a gang fight or some hooligans troubling a woman. And you see a policeman sitting there. You go to the policeman, please help, do something. And he says, no, I don't feel like doing it, I don't want to. I said, what would you say to the policeman? He said, hey, you're supposed to protect us. I said, that's the point. That's the point Krishna is making to Arjuna. You're a kshatriya. It is your duty to do and protect. Because if you don't, the whole of society will feel unsafe. Because the police, you know, the tagline is to protect and to serve. And Arjuna is not doing that. And I haven't seen a bigger smile on a person's face. And he said, is it that simple? And I said, yes, it is that simple. He asked me again, is it really that simple? And I said, it is really that simple. He said, my gosh, I've read it so many times. Oh, and I said, yes, this is why you should read Srila Prabhupada. Because many people of Bhagavad Gita, they read it left, right, and center, but they miss the something that's so obvious. And Srila Prabhupada explains it very simply. He was just performing his duty. Oh, then he said, but I have another question. This is not just a cop, you know, fighting against some injustice. Krishna is telling him to kill his own relatives, brothers. So I asked him, if you're a policeman and you come to know that your brother is engaged in some criminal activity, what would you do? Which would you place higher? Your relationship with your brother or your sense of duty? He said, oh, sense of duty. I said, that's the point. That's the point Krishna is making. Oh, wow. Thank you. Now I understand it. I said, yeah, but it's so simple. It takes years to, if you try on your own, it won't come. So this is how, by Srila Prabhupada, being that person to set the example to know how to approach great persons. Otherwise, things will be vague. And these persons are, they are professors, so they are supposed to be leaders. Prabhupada said one should follow intellectuals, should take instructions from those ideal people who are considered to be intellectuals. So the whole idea of teaching is a brahmanical function. But just performing brahmanical function without brahmanical qualification, then neither is a person intellectual nor are they ideal. They're just trying to find a salary, a livelihood. So a brahmana who's performing, the person who's performing brahmanical function simply for livelihood cannot be a leader. They disappoint. So the most important thing for me coming to Krishna consciousness was from the beginning Prabhupada would emphasize so much on speech and behavior to match. Generally, speech leads behavior. By the time people's behaviors catch up, takes time, but speech moves faster, right? When we come to Krishna consciousness, our speech changes first before behaviors change. And as we're progressing in Krishna consciousness, our speech leads our behavior. The genuineness of a devotee is that the speech and behaviors, they're always matching or in the right direction. But for those who, I guess, professional reciters, as we were talking yesterday, speech is one place and behavior is in a completely different planet. Then they disappoint. So speech and behavior should match. Match meaning in the right direction. Ideally, whatever is spoken, that is what one does. So the training is to align behavior and speech. That's the way of becoming, I guess, a leader or ideal example, is to keep speech and behavior congruent. They are called the Mahajana Yena Gata Sapantha. So in simple English, it's called walking the talk. You walk the talk. Mostly it's talk, but and talk some more. This morning we're hearing Prabhupada saying, when a person talks too much, the spiritual master says, be quiet, shut up. He didn't say shut up, but he said, tells him, maunavrata, just don't speak anything. That is a way to just help him. Because he just talk. And Prabhupada says in Nectar of Instruction, talk, idle talk, not ideal talk, idle talk that is not followed by the right behavior is like inviting death. One hastens one's death process by talking unnecessarily. Anyway, this is not about speech class, but the risk in following the wrong example is that one becomes dehabhrit or dehi. Our favorite phrase of late has been one more time. So there's one more time, one will become a dehi. Dehi means embodied. When following the Mahajanas, one becomes completely free of the entrapment of a material body. One gets one's full spiritual existence. That's what one should follow, ideally. That's what we're following. Okay, questions, comments? Yeah, Prabhu.
Police, and that's your brother, and which do you place higher? He selected duty amazingly.
because he was a college professor.
Yeah.
They have a greater sense of ideals. If I was speaking to a gangster, I would never say such. We would just choose like, hey, obvious man.
So my question maybe from the gangster perspective.
Yeah.
Due to conditioned consciousness. There's this class is about following Dharma and following the Mahajans. Within the mind is the greatest obstacle to that following. And it creates like this really strong emotional investment into whatever image is creating.
Uh-huh.
And it creates this strong obstacle to the following Dharma. Because the emotions are like really close to us, whereas
right.
the principles of Dharma are still somewhat intangible or aloof, especially the fruits of following Dharma. It's like a little bit, we can't catch it, but the emotions are very close to us. So it seems more real, and we generally tend to give deference to that. So it's obviously a huge obstacle in our development. So I was wondering, how does one overcome such an influence?
Yeah. That was Arjuna's situation too. You said from the gangster consciousness. In that sense, Arjuna was operating on gangster consciousness. Oh, my brothers, who cares for Dharma? In fact, by doing what I would like to do, I'm protecting Dharma. He rationalized. So Krishna told him that being driven by such emotions, there are three problems. He says, first, this anarya. Anarya jushtam means it's an uncivilized thought. Arya means persons who are civilized. Anarya jushtam is this uncivilized thought, meaning it's not uplifting. Aswargyam is it's not meritorious. It doesn't bring about an elevation of consciousness. Aswargyam. And finally, he says, akirtikaram. A kirtikaram is this, there's no glory in such action. Although it might look fantastic to the world that, oh, you're professing non-violence and you're a great moralist. But a kirtikara, you will always be remembered as a person who backed out of duty. So emotions, they sometimes block our sense of duty. So we need someone who can see objectively for us and help us consider duty as well. It's just that we don't have to give up the emotions because we can't. We are attached to the emotions. In fact, we identify with the emotions. It's the bodily concept of life that is very, very active. Our sense of spiritual realization is always a little further or outside of us because we're still in the bodily concept of life. But for some people, it's closer, just because spiritually more advanced is closer. But to feel and to be like a liberated person is a whole different ballgame. So we need such persons who will look at and say, this is from emotion, that is from dharma. And please choose this over that. On our own we cannot. It's difficult to see. If we try on our own to analyze and we think, I have the capacity now to be able to discern my emotions, then one is cheating oneself. To say it strongly, to say it mildly, one might be mistaken. We always need that objective factor, person actually, to give us perspective. Even if it is Arjuna, he needed the perspective. And the process is hearing. Maya sakta manah partha. This is Prabhupada's favorite verse, quoted most than any other verse. Maya sakta manah partha. My mind attached to Krishna. If the mind is not attached to Krishna, yogam yunjan means there is connection and there is activity associated with that connection. Yogam yunjan, mad ashraya, feeling sheltered by Krishna. Then he says, asamshayam samagram mam. All doubts go away. Samagram, completeness. Yatha gyasyasi tat shrinu. One must hear. So without connection, one cannot hear. Mind attached. Mind attached means that the desires, the contemplations, the thinking, feeling and willing are in relation to Krishna and Krishna's representative. Then only hearing is possible, or the doubts can go away from the hearing. Otherwise, sure, we are hearing. For the doubts to go away. Doubts are these emotional blocks, right? Our emotions draws in this way and Krishna wants us to go there, and then we have this doubt. Which way should I go? And it's the same answer. It doesn't matter which angle you look from it. Krishna does not allow us to escape from, just sit down and hear properly from me. Because the tendency is so much to act out of impulse, or the, what we say, the emotional push, right? Arjuna says, Krishna, I can't hear you because I'm being pushed as if against my own will by something else. Yes, yes, that is true. Kamesha, Krodesha. It's the point of passion, pushing. Okay, Himanshu Prabhu.
I think part of the answer to my question may have been in this answer you just gave, but that's my question anyways. In the policeman example you gave, part of what impels his duty is his self-conception, I'm a police officer.
Mm-hmm.
So I was thinking, we try to do our service thinking I'm a servant, but it's much harder than just saying or thinking that I'm a servant. So I was wondering, how does one actually work with that, like how does one get that realization? So it's not just like a mental adjustment.
Yeah, so that, therefore, the class was focused on application. What bridges jnana and realization is application. Or say it differently, to go from jnana platform to vijnana platform, to go from knowledge to realization, the bridge is application. When we apply ourselves to the teachings, then we get full realization. So the teaching is, we are a servant of Krishna. And it's there. It's there in our mind. And it's there. And it's there. It's there in our mind. And it's there in our intelligence. But if it's not applied, one doesn't apply oneself as a servant of Krishna, then that realization doesn't come. Ah, I can actually find happiness in serving Krishna. Because one may say, I'm a servant, but I'm looking for being an enjoyer. And I find places to enjoy. But the real enjoyment is in serving. There are times, especially certain times, when the greatest happiness comes from just serving. And we do have that realization. If I can just go on with life like this, serving, this will be fantastic. Of course, the next morning it may not stay, but we have a little glimpse of that realization. Especially places like Rath Yatra or festivals like that. Just, and Jagannath just gives so much service that you feel, wow. So nice to be Lord Jagannath's servant and the Vaishnavas. So they, you know, I'm just speaking Rath Yatra, but there are other places as well. I'm saying Rath Yatra for a particular reason. But okay? Stretching or?
Stretching for a question. You mentioned the feature of a person who is able to give shelter is that he has implicit faith in Guru and Krishna, yesterday Deva Prabhupada.
Mm-hmm.
I was also thinking, not like it's different or something, but a person who is sheltered also has implicit faith in Guru and Krishna. It's the same thing.
That
if
is
you
true.
Are sheltered, you can give shelter. So how can you just kindly expand a little bit on what the understanding is of what it means to have implicit faith in Guru and Krishna?
What does it mean to have implicit faith? In the Chaitanya Charitamrita, in fact, this whole topic is discussed in Bhagavad Gita 2.41. And the verse quoted about faith is Krishna Bhakti Kaile Sarva Karma Krita Haya. And Krishna on one hand says Akirti Karam, and then here it says Sarva Karma Krita Haya. That all glory, all merit rests in simply following the instruction of Guru and Krishna. And the instruction is Krishna Bhakti Kaile, that the activities are all in the realm of Krishna Bhakti. Whatever that activity is, that must be done is within the... So the spiritual master's instruction, regardless of what is the situation, brings back to the same, realm, it's Krishna Bhakti. What was the phrase that you used 3 days ago? Panacea? And you said that there is life. I like that very much. I'm trying to remember. I may not quote verbatim, but that it's not just that there is a soul in the body, so a person is alive. That is one way of seeing someone is alive. But the real life is that one has love. Life of consciousness, without love is... So, life of consciousness, one is... What is that consciousness? Krishna Bhakti Kaile Sarva Karma Krita Haya. So that faith, it's in this purport a little bit, that the one will not pursue asat activities, thinking maybe someone else missed out little happiness in these asat activities and I might be the lucky fellow. You know, when you go to Google search and you type something, on the right side it says, I feel lucky. It's like a gold digger. Not a gold digger. Gold digger is a bad way. The person who went west in search of gold. Prospecting for gold.
Gold miner.
Thinking, oh... Apparently, that's how the civilization moved from east to west, because people thought, oh, if you go up to Kentucky, there is gold. Oh, what if I go to the land even further west than that? Someone forgot there. So they went to whatever and landed up in California. And if they went a little further, they were in the Pacific Ocean. But like that. It's thinking that, oh, someone else missed out the happiness in material life. If I push further, I might find it. Excuse me. But one who has implicit faith hears there is no happiness in the West. Pun intended. Then one will follow. Yeah, they accept it. That's the implicit. They accept it.
Just to recap in the way that it made sense to me, to succinctly. Basically one who's properly following sadhana bhakti. Because you jnana karma jnanavritam. I'm thinking chapter 5, Metta Devotion.
In sadhana bhakti, full implicit faith isn't manifest yet. But it is on the basis of some strength of faith, yes. Because from adho shraddha up to prema, is the development of faith. So one may not have implicit faith, but one is on the path of developing implicit faith. And sadhana bhakti allows for that faith to nurture. So it's not that one who's practicing sadhana bhakti has implicit faith. Even a kanishta can perform sadhana bhakti nicely, but his faith is still pliable. But if one engages continuously, then the development of faith is manifest as asakti, nishtha, ruchi, etc. That is the indicator. Oh, this is, faith is developing. excuse me. Without sadhana bhakti, one cannot develop faith. Yes.
Do you mind if I ask some more? Just trying to clarify my conception on this. So, it's almost like as you said, a Kanishtha Adhikari can perform sadhana bhakti properly. Part of sadhana bhakti is that you follow the instructions of the spiritual master with faith and love.
Not necessarily. With faith. With that faith and love is only at that level.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay. But it's not implicit yet.
That's interesting. Okay. I'm clarifying my
definition. In the way we are talking of implicit faith in this context.
In this context.
It's not implicit yet. There is faith, sure.
It's almost like
but that faith can be tested. Right? It can fail.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That
but implicit faith means that faith never fails.
That's what we're talking about. Okay. Let's clarify something.
We're reading about that in Mahabharata.
Oh, how interesting.
I accept everything you say is true. Mm-hmm. That is called Shraddha. And we were talking about that last night. I was like, that's pretty tough.
Yeah. Usually people don't come to that conclusion. Everything you say is true. Really? But I think Sarvameta Dhritam Manye Yanmam Vadashi Keshava. Interesting. I mean, the Bhagavad Gita is very nice. It's a little digression. In that statement, Yanmam Vadashi Keshava, because he's the killer of the Keshi demon. And the Keshi demon is considered one of the demons of doubt and inhibitors of proper execution of bhakti. That is beautiful. Okay, who else? Jitendra Prabhu had his hand raised. You were talking of Govinda the other day. Govinda.
I was in the fifth canto here. I'm finding something about gold. Prabhupada, I think he said that, you know, there's large deposits of gold in the material world here, and then on other planets even more so. But he said that if the Karmis found out about it, they'd become even more mad than they are now. You know, for that, you know, like the San Francisco 49ers, you know, things like that, and the Alaska Gold Rush, the Klondikes and stuff like that. But I was just reading about that here, you know. But are you familiar with that, what Srila Prabhupada said?
Am I familiar where the gold is?
No, are you familiar that he said that they become even more mad than they are
I
now?
I can't remember if I heard that. I knew where the gold is, I would not be here.
What's that? I didn't hear you.
If I knew where the gold is, would I be here? No, I don't know.
He who has the gold rules?
Exactly.
The golden rule.
Hiranya. Both brothers were like that. Hiranya Aksha, he was always searching for gold. And Hiranya Kashipu, he was always enjoying his gold. Even Ravana had so much taste for gold that his entire city was made of gold. And Prabhupada called it Suvarna Lanka. And he had the aspiration that Prabhupada says here, that he had dug a tunnel from Sri Lanka to Brazil, apparently, from underground, to bring all the gold from there to make his palace. Yet, with all the gold, he did a really silly thing. He kidnapped Lord Ramachandra's wife. So he didn't last too long to enjoy the gold. Bring it back to
the humble devotee simply prays to the Lord, kindly pick me up from the material world, which is full of varieties of material opulence, and keep me under your shelter of the lotus feet. Srila Narottam Das Thakur prays, O my Lord, O son of Nanda Maharaj, you are standing before me with your consort, the daughter of Rishabhanu, Srimad Radhe Rani. Kindly accept me as the dust of your lotus feet. Please do not kick me away, for I have no other shelter. Similarly, Parobho Ananda Sarasvati indicates that the position of the demigods, who are decorated with golden helmets and other ornaments, is no better than phantasmagoria. A devotee is never allured by such opulences. He simply aspires to become the dust of the lotus feet of the Lord. And then I remember Chanaka Pandit says, go for the real wealth, true religion. Hare Krishna.
Okay, thank you very much, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Try to bring the attention back to Krishna by narrating the pastime.